Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the first chapter of John. We're going to continue our study of the apostles. We've done three so far. We've done Andrew and Peter. We've done Philip. And tonight we come back to Nathanael. Now, I preached about Nathanael a couple weeks ago about, if you remember from the verse 51 of John chapter 1, verse 50, where Jesus told Nathanael, "Thou shalt see greater things than these." And that was the theme of my message a couple weeks ago. But tonight we're going to look at him as a man. In fact, I'll just give you my outline tonight. I have 3 points: the man, the master, and the miracle when the man and the master came together. And we're going to look at, let's look at verse 47. Let me read these verses real quickly, 47 down through the end of the chapter, verse 51. "And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and say of him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile.'" Now you remember his friend Philip told him about Jesus. Philip was one of the ones that was with John the Baptist when John the Baptist pointed out Jesus, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Andrew and Philip followed him. Andrew found Peter and brought him to Jesus. Philip found Nathanael and brought him to Christ. "Nathanael saith unto him, 'Whence knowest thou me?' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee.' Nathanael answered and saith unto him, 'Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these.' And he saith unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.'" So I want to tell you some things about Nathanael. And then I want to tell you some things that Jesus knew about him. And then I want to mention a couple miraculous things that happened when the two got together. In Nathanael's only mentioned 6 places in the Bible. He's mentioned in the list of apostles in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then in the book of Acts. He's mentioned, so that's 4. He's mentioned in John chapter 21 as one of the disciples or apostles that went fishing with Peter. And then he's mentioned here in John chapter 1. In the list of the apostles, sometimes he is mentioned as Bartholomew. Bartholomew and Nathanael was the same person. The name Nathanael means gift of God, and the name Bartholomew means son of Tolmai. And so you put his names together, Nathanael Bartholomew, and you get the meaning, the gift of God to Tolmai. And I'll remind you tonight that children are a gift from God. I think we realize more that they're little when they're little, that they are a gift from God. I had the privilege of having my 2 grandsons with me since Sunday night, just brought them back home. And they are a gift from God. It was just so much fun to see them interact together. First time I've had them together in a while. But I hope and I can remember that when they get older, when they get to be teenagers and they get to be a little trying at times, even for a grandpa, that they still are a gift from God. I have to remind myself that my son, who is old, is a gift from God. And my daughter, who is old, is a gift from God. When I go down and see my mom next week, we're going to talk. I'm going to remind her that I'm a gift from God to her. But regardless of how old our kids are, we need to remember that they are a gift from God and that he's given them to us. And again, you've heard me say many, many times, I do not believe there is a child born by accident. I do not believe that there is an uh-oh kind of baby. I believe that they are all ordained, planned, however you want to say it, by God, and that they are all born for a purpose. And again, you know, I believe abortion is a sin. I believe it's murder. But one of the things that's wrong with abortion is when we kill an unborn child, what we're saying is we know more than God. God has overseen that conception. God will bring that child into the world. And what we're saying when we kill an unborn child is we know more than God. Our plan is better than God. And so, again, we need to always remember, regardless of how old your children are, regardless of how trying they are at times, they are a gift from God given to you. Now, the Bible tells us that Nathanael was guileless, in whom there is no guile, Jesus said about him. And so he was open, he was honest, he was not deceitful in any way. He always told the truth. I think that's a good testimony that we'd all strive to have mentioned about ourselves. Open, honest, always truthful. But I want to point out to you tonight and remind you, even guileless people, even honest, good people that never lie, still need the Savior, still need to be saved. You know, we think about people that are in deep sin, and I mentioned this Sunday morning in Sunday school, and it's readily apparent to us that they need the Savior. But I want to tell you, people like Nathanael needed Jesus just as much as the maniac from Gadara or the sinners that we read about in the New Testament or the sinners that we know today. Good people need salvation just like bad people do. And again, we've been talking about it in Sunday school about when we had our lesson about sin. But the Bible reminds us over and over again that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even the guileless people, even the good people, when they are compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, come short of God's righteousness. And so we look around at people and we sometimes put them into categories. We sort of say, well, this guy's not so bad, and this guy's a sinner. He really needs Jesus. And we need to remember that they both need Christ. Every single person needs Jesus. He was, number three, an earnest seeker. He was looking for the Savior. And I take that from John 1:45, where Philip said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." That statement implies to me that Philip and Nathanael were on a quest together, that together they were looking for the Savior, that together they had studied the Old Testament, they had studied the law of Moses, they had studied the prophets. And so they were looking together for the Savior. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so these two men were studying the Old Testament, and their faith, after reading the word of God, allowed them to receive Christ as their Savior. Now again, that's one of the miracles we're going to talk about when we get to the end of the Bible study tonight, when the man and the master come together. One of the miracles is the man gets saved. But he got saved the same way that we get saved, by faith, and that faith came from the word of God. I want to point out to you tonight that not only does saving faith come from the Word of God, but living faith comes by the Word of God. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. And we need to have living faith to live in the way that God intends for us to live. When Jesus says, "I've come not only to give you life, but life more abundantly," that abundant life comes from faith. We have to have faith to get that abundant life. Now, where do we get that faith? Same place that we get our saving faith. We get our living faith from the Word of God, from the Bible. And so as Christians, we need to stay in the Bible so that we have the faith that we can live the kind of life that God wants us to live. I believe that the Bible has the answer to every situation, every question that we face in this life. And I know some of you are saying, "Now, how can you say that, preacher? We live in a completely kind of world than when the Bible was written. We have all this technology today. We have all, you know, the communication systems and different ways of looking at things." It doesn't matter. This book is a timeless book. This book was written by God who knew what was going to be going on in the year 2014. And everything that we need is in this book if we'll look for it. If we'll ask the Holy Spirit for it. If we'll stay in it. That's why it's so important for us as Christians to spend time daily in the Word of God. I was with Brother Jeff at the hospital, and he reminded me, he always tells people, start the day with B&B. Bible and then breakfast, in that order. Bible and then breakfast, B&B. And we need to stay in this book every single day. You say, well, I got saved. Why do I need to read the Bible? Because this is your handbook. This is your manual. This is the book that tells you how to get along in life. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, the book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. God promises, spend time in the book, meditate, and then strive to do everything that's in it. And then God says, I'll bless you. I'll make you prosperous. I'll make you a success. Now again, people read that and say, that mean I'm going to have a lot of money? Maybe, maybe not. God doesn't define prosperity and success by having a lot of money. Sometimes he does, but most of the time he doesn't. But God says, you stay in this book, you read it, you study, you meditate in it, and strive to do what's in it, and I will bless you. All right, number four. This man, again, we're still talking about Nathanael the man. He was ignorant. He knew Moses and the prophets. He knew the Old Testament, but he did not yet know the Christ of the Bible. D.L. Moody said one time, there were carpenters that drowned in the flood that knew more about building an ark than Noah did. Did you ever stop to think about that? There were carpenters that drowned in the flood that knew more about building an ark than Noah did. We can intellectually know this book. But until we come to know personally the one that wrote this book, we are ignorant. Nathanael knew the prophets. He knew the laws of Moses. But until he met the Savior, he was ignorant. And then number five, he was somewhat prejudiced. When Philip said, hey, we have found the Messiah. We found the ones the prophets and Moses talked about. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And here's what Nathanael said. We didn't read this verse, but here's what he said. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? He was a little prejudiced. Nazareth wasn't a very nice city. It was an unfriendly city. When Nathanael heard Philip's testimony, he said, there's nothing good that can come out of Nazareth. Absolutely nothing. And Philip said, well, come and see. Come and see. And to Nathanael's credit, he said, okay, I'll come and I'll see. All right, now, quickly, let's talk about what Jesus knew about Nathanael. First of all, he knew that he was a descendant of Jacob. Behold, an Israelite indeed. So he knew that he was a Jew, part of God's chosen family, a race chosen by God to be his people. He knew his character, because it was Jesus that said, in whom there is no guile. Jesus knew Nathanael. I'll remind you tonight, Jesus knows each of us. He knows our character. What's character? Character is who you are when nobody else is looking. Character is who you are when you are all alone. Nathanael was sitting under that fig tree. I've often wondered. I wonder what he was doing under that fig tree. Was he meditating on the Old Testament? Was he in prayer? Was he asking God to reveal the Messiah to him? I don't know. If I remember to ask him, I'm going to ask him when I get to heaven and I see him. But I want to remind you tonight, God knows each of us. There's no secret about us to God. There's no thought that we think that he doesn't know. There's no word that we speak that he doesn't hear. There is no place that we go that he does not know that we go. He knows us. Better than anybody else, he knows us. And then, as we finish up tonight, I want to look at the miracle that happened when the man met the master. Philip said, "Come and see. Come and see." And Nathanael said, "Okay, let's go." And they went to see Jesus. And when Jesus saw them coming, "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile." Nathanael says, "How do you know me? How can you make that statement? We've never met." And Jesus said, "Hey, when you were sitting under the fig tree by yourself, and Philip went and called you from there to tell you about me and invited you to come, I saw you sitting under that fig tree." And Nathanael answered, he said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Nathanael was confessing Jesus as Christ. Nathanael was confessing Jesus as the Messiah. Nathanael was saying, "Hey, I agree with Philip. We found the one that we've been looking for. We found the one that's been promised by God. We found the Messiah. We found the Son of God. We found the Savior." So the first miracle when the man met the master was that he got saved. Now, I want to tell you, I don't think we think about it in this way. It was a miracle when I got saved. It was a miracle when you got saved. It was a miracle for a holy, righteous God to love us as sinners enough. And I know there's some pretty good folks in this room. So when I'm talking about sinners, let me just talk about myself. It was a miracle that God loved this sinner enough to save him. It was a miracle that God loved this sinner enough to send his son to die in my place. It was a miracle that God included me in his invitation, whosoever will may come. It was a miracle. And by the way, it was a miracle for you too. It was a miracle for you. So the first miracle that happened when the man met the master was that he was saved. The second miracle was that Jesus made him a promise. And again, I preached about this a couple weeks ago. He said, "Nathanael, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." What Jesus was saying, "Man, you haven't seen anything yet. We're just getting started. I mean, you're going to see things that if I told you you were going to see them right now, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. But you are going to see things that will just astound you. You are going to see things that you cannot imagine." And again, we talked about them a couple weeks ago, but you just stop and think what Nathanael got to see as one of the apostles of Jesus Christ, as one of the disciples of Christ. I mean, he was there that day that Jesus took those two little fishes and bread and broke it and fed 5,000 men plus the women and the children. He was there when Jesus cast out demons. He was there when Jesus made the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear. He was there when Jesus raised the dead. He was there when Jesus came up out of the tomb. He was there. He saw greater things. Everything that we see in our life as Christians, as God blesses, is a miracle. You know, some of the things we recognize as miracles. And we point to God and say, "Oh man, that was a wondrous work. That was a mighty work." I mean, we've talked about some of them tonight. Answer to prayer is a miracle. It really is. It's a miracle. But I submit to you tonight that God works miracles in our life a lot of times that we don't see, that we don't recognize as miracles. And yet, God works them. I don't know when we get to heaven if he'll set us down and say, "Hey, let's look at your life together. Let me show you all the ways that I worked that you never even knew and you never gave me any credit, you never said thank you about, but I just want you to know I was there." I think there's people that get saved that God has worked a miracle in sparing their life so they can get saved. I mean, I really believe that he has worked a miracle to save their life so that they can get saved. And they probably know nothing about it. But the miracle that happened When the man met the master, was he got saved? And he entered into a life where God, in a miraculous way, let him see his power. He does the same thing for us. When this man met the master, when you met the master, he saved you. And then he lets you enter into a life to see how he works. And again, a lot of times we don't see it because we're not looking or we just don't think about it. But he lets us enter into a life where we see his power. And so I'm glad we have the story of Nathanael to remind us of these things. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.